One of the dominant themes for us in this podcast this year has been the conversation around trade activity in the world, and more importantly in the South African agricultural sector. And of course, the conversation has been centered around the developments on the tariffs in the US, an important market for some of the commodities in South Africa. I've said it repeatedly in the past that the US accounts for around 4% of our agricultural exports to the world market, but of course, an important component for the fruit industry, particularly citrus, nuts, some stone fruit, table grape, wine. Those are some of the sectors, amongst others, that have dominance in the US. And yes, let me not forget our colleagues that are in the ostrich industry, because the US is an important market for them. So that's where the conversation is largely centered in a greater part of this year. But of course, we had always been talking about the need for South Africa to widen its export to new regions, because this is what we see as part and parcel of growth. When we think about the growth of the South African agricultural sector, it is probably two layered. There's one aspect that is focused on expanding production domestically to new areas, but also improving productivity in the areas that we already farm. But the second aspect of it is this export part of saying, which areas should we be expanding to? And I think in the midst of that, as well as the disruptions that are caused by tariffs, it's always important that we pay attention on a high frequency data to say, what are the developments in the sector? And we saw that in the start of this year, the first quarter data was looking pretty much fantastic. The exports were growing, but of course, the Liberation Day tariffs impacted more of the activity starting from the second quarter, and we are yet to see what are the full year results of that and going into next year, as some of the negotiations with countries trying to get better tariff levels in the US are still ongoing. But be that as it may, if you look at the second quarter of 2025 and say, how did the South African agricultural sector perform in the export markets? And the exports were fantastic. They reached $3.71 billion. You think about this $3.7 billion, you compare with last year's same period, these exports are up by 10%. And again, this 10% improvement comes after a solid start on Q1 when we were thinking about the agricultural exports to the world. The question of what is it, what is driving these exports, is probably two parts. One, it's the better production across a whole range of commodity, particularly the different fruits and on the field crops. Of course, we do have some challenges in the livestock industry that are related to foot and mouth disease. But remember, we were still on our starting part of the journey of broadening our red meat exports. They are not yet at a level that we desire. And of course, when we have these diseases, it does mean that the red meat exports are also temporarily restricted in a whole host of countries that we would generally be exporting to. But we do have a large output that is coming out of the fruit industry. And in the field crops, also an excellent recovery thanks to the better summer rains. That's the first part of that. But also, this improvement mirrors the generally attractive commodity prices that are there. So it's a volume factor as well as a value, which is the fact that there are better commodity prices in the world market. All of this assisting and ensuring that South Africa sees its exports in value terms growing by 10% if you were to compare with where we were in the second quarter of last year, 2024. Now, you may ask the question to say, what is it that is in these exports? What are the top products that are dominating this? And if you look into them, you'll see that citrus was at the top, apples and pears, maize, wine, nuts, fruit juices, dates, pineapples, avocados, grapes, and wool were among some of these products. But the list is long. I'm just citing what was at the top when you were thinking about where what were the products that dominated the exports in the second quarter of this year. And I must also give credit to our colleagues at Transnet that are at the ports, because the improvement in exports is not only just a function of better prices and large volumes, but it's also the efficiencies at the ports. because I think anyone who follows the South African news, you will realize that this time around, we were not complaining about the ports like we typically do, because in the recent past, there's been all of the inefficiency challenges that we see at our ports, and this has always put a lot of strain to the export activity. But this time around, we see that the conditions are improving. From a regional perspective, though, if you were to think about that and say, which regions are we exporting these products to? And you find that the African continent remains an important part and the dominant market. About 40% of our agricultural exports go to the African continent, and it's largely maize at the top, maize meal, apples and pears, sugar, fruit juices, wheat, wine, soybean and sunflower oil. Those are the products that you see dominating in that 40% that we send to the African continent. The EU is the second largest. About 22% of our agricultural exports went to the EU in the second quarter. Citrus, apples and pears, dates, pineapple, avocados, guavas, mangoes, wine, grapes, nuts were some of the products that dominated there, which means that the EU is largely fruits and wine, while if you're looking at the African continent, it is mainly grains and a vegetable oil. That's the composition of those products. And of course, African continent, 40%, the EU, 22%. So one can argue that close to two-thirds of our agricultural exports go to the EU and the African continent. The Middle East and Asia accounted for about 21% of our agricultural exports in the second quarter of this year. The products that were at the top were mainly citrus, apples and pears, nuts, wool, maize, beef, mutton, wine, berries, fruit juices were some of these products that were dominant. And you will see that for Asia, wool, particularly China, and of course our meat that also goes to the Middle East. That's the combination of these regions. That's our export focus. In Americas, it was about only 7%. And of course, that 7% in the Americas is inclusive of the 4% that goes to the U.S. But if you zoom into the export just to the U.S., our agricultural exports to the U.S. were at $161 million. You think about that and say, okay, how does this compare to where we were at the same time last year? This is up 26% compared to the second quarter of 2014. And of course, the key products that dominate our activity in the EU, it's usually citrus, wine, fruit juices, nuts, amongst other products. Those are the products that we send as South Africa into the Americas. The reason the U.S. Exports were up by 26% to the $161 million, there's also a bit of a front loading, as people knew that the tariffs were coming in, but also the fact that we did have a gap there, that 90-day pause. And I think a lot of people were taking advantage of that 90-day pause, which is why the exports were looking the way that we're looking. And I must say that if you think about where the growth of our agricultural exports in the first quarter of this year, they were still solid in the U.S., and now this is another solid activity. And in fact, this is not a base effect story, because this is well above the long-term average. If you think about the typical quarterly export growth rate to the U.S., it's usually about 9%. So 26% is really a good activity. So yes, people taking advantage of the 90-day pause before the tariff came in, but also the fact that front-loading, but also the fact that we had a large crop. So that does count for something when you were thinking about our exports to the U.S. and all of these world markets. I must say, though, that another thing that is also worth mentioning is that generally the exports to the world market also accommodate the UK. Our exports to the world market were about 10%, also pretty much strong, and that also accounts for the exports that we send to the UK. Now, if you look at all of this export activity and say, okay, but what does South Africa bring in? We do import as South Africa also. Our imports were at $1.8 billion. They were down 5% because of the reduction in some of the volumes of imports, particularly if you think about our imports of poultry and our imports of whiskey. Those have come down, leading to that 5% decline to the extent that our imports were just around $1.8 billion. Now, you look at these products and you say, why are we still importing wheat and others? It's really the environmental constraints. And on poultry, we're still importing about 20% or so of what we consume in South Africa a year. Now, when you consider the export and the imports, we as South Africa pretty much have a trade surplus of about $1.9 billion in the second quarter. That is up 29% from the same period last year. So really a solid activity in terms of the exports. But if you were to ask me then and say, okay, we see these numbers, but what are the policy considerations on the basis of all of this? And my point would be that let's continue focusing on improving the logistics at the ports. That's one. The second aspect, let's maintain the markets that we have in Asia, the Middle East, Africa, EU. Let's make sure that we retain those markets in the Americas. And thirdly, let's pursue other markets rigorously and with speed. And I think that thinking about the BRICS countries is one of the aspects of considering where we should be going as South Africa. And with that, folks, let me stop there. I thought it's important just to discuss the numbers as to what's going on in our export activity. And as always, I am going to thank the folks that help in putting this podcast together. That is Richard Humphrey, Sam Kokeli, Nelsiwe Chabalala, and Amanda Murimba. Follow me on X and at all social platforms at Wandile Sihlobo, and follow the publisher of this podcast, The Financial Mail, across all social media platforms. Thank you so very much for listening.